بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم ما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تنكح المرأة لأربع: لمالها ولحسبها ولجمالها ولدينها، فاظفر بذات الدين تلبت يداك. متفق عليه، معناه أن الناس يقصدون في العادة من المرأة هذه الخصال الأربع، فاحرص أنت على ذات الدين واظفر بها واحرص على صحبتها. The chapter we are dealing with pertains to the importance of visiting the pious people, loving them, staying in their company, benefiting from them, being desirous that they visit you, make dua for you, and to visit the sacred and the virtuous places. Of all the relationships between human beings, perhaps one of the most fundamental and important is that relationship that exists between husband and wife. We are exhorted as far as possible that your friends, your company that you keep should be pious, should be conducive towards you obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, when it comes to choosing a life's partner, quite a sizable section of your time is going to be spent with your wife naturally. Husband and wife interact and spend a lot of time with each other. So here also, Shariat exhorts us, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted us that when you choose the partner, when you choose your spouse, who obviously you're going to be spending a lot of time with, and the character of that individual to a very large extent will determine your akhirat, not only your dunya, and not only yourself, but that of your children, then let the dini akhlaq and character of that person be the overriding factor in determining your choice. This hadith is a very, very famous hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that generally women are chosen as a partner or as a spouse or as a wife on the basis of four things: لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. What are the four criteria that normally are taken into consideration when choosing a partner? Sometimes parents are looking for a girl for their son, or a person himself is looking for a partner. The four things: one is the financial background of the prospective spouse. How wealthy is she or he? This, without a doubt, people take into consideration this. Likewise, the lineage of that person, which family they belong to, the pedigree of that individual. Likewise, the beauty of the woman is taken into consideration. And the fourth characteristic, or the fourth criteria, is the religiosity. In other words, how deendar is this person? How much of taqwa and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Obviously, we can't see the taqwa, but outwardly, basic criteria perhaps in a boy would be, does he have a beard? Is he practicing on sunnah? What is his dressing like? Is he regular with his salah? What is his interaction with the people? How is his akhlaq and character? Comes to a girl, whether she is in parda, etc. Unfortunately, today in the upside down world we are living in, an upside down mentality that exists, instead of these being factors that are regarded as something we should be looking for, we go in the opposite direction. The boy has a beard, we stay far away. If the girl has a parda, then we say she's too religious. So we want to stay away from that type of girl. This unfortunately is the upside down mentality in which we are living in. But nevertheless, Rasulullah ﷺ said that these are the four categories that normally are considered when choosing a spouse or a partner. Now understand the reason why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has introduced this particular hadith in this chapter. What is this chapter about? That try and stay in the company of the pious. Try and spend as much time as possible. Let your company be those people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when choosing your partner in marriage also, you're going to be spending a great deal of time with that person. So let that be the overriding factor. And then look at the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam exhorts us. He says, "Fadfar bidati deen," become successful. Become successful, become happy by choosing a woman of, or choosing a partner on the basis of her deen and taqwa and piety. Taribat yadak, this expression in Arabic outwardly sounds like a baddua, a curse. Literal translation, may your hands be soiled. Taribat yadak, may your hands be soiled with the dust or with the sand. Two explanations ulama-i-kiram have given what is the significance of this particular expression in the context of this hadith. The first one is obviously a literal one, where they say this is a supplication against not heeding this advice, the evil consequences that could occur if you do not heed this advice, that giving importance to the deen and akhlaq of your partner. Taribat yadak. In other words, you are selecting a recipe for disaster. When it comes to your children, when it comes to your day-to-day life, she's very, very beautiful, there's no fear for Allah Ta'ala, what's going to happen? Very, very wealthy, no taqwa, no piety. Every time she opens her mouth, or he opens his mouth, the consequences in akhirat, the belief or the conviction in accountability, that if I raise my hand, I'm going to answer to Allah Ta'ala. If I speak harshly or unjustly, if I don't control my temper, if I don't show appreciation, etc., all these things. The only thing that is going to make a person in the darkness of his home behave and treat his partner in a good way is the fear of Allah Ta'ala. If he or she does not fear Allah, does not fear qabr, does not fear akhirat, then we can see what is going on in the homes today. There are fires burning in the homes today. So nevertheless, one is the literal meaning. The second is, ulama say that this is a common Arabic expression. Whenever a subject matter is of great importance, then to emphasize the importance of the subject matter, this particular expression is used, taribat yadak. Nevertheless, if we look at this, at the subject matter of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fadfar bidhati deen." It's not even possible in English to truly convey the beauty of this expression and the exhortation that is found in this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the extent to which he is encouraging us, that "Fadfar bidhati deen," become successful, become happy by letting your spouse or your companion be chosen on the basis of their deen and their akhlaq. Ulama explain why, because the spouse is one's closest companion. You share your joys, your grief. She keeps your secrets, protects your wealth, rears your children, gives counsel and advice. She is the shoulder of support you lean upon. And if she is pious or he is pious, then all this will be done on the basis of taqwa. The hadith, important for us to realize, my respected brothers, that the hadith does not prohibit considering the other three. It's not wrong or haram or forbidden in Sharia that you should consider the wealth or consider the lineage or the pedigree of the partner that is to be chosen. In fact, when it comes to beauty, there's a clear hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one Ansari Sahabi came and said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, I am going to get married to so and so." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that, "Did you have a look at her? Did you consider her beauty? Is there mutual attraction, etc.?" So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I haven't seen her." So this Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him that have a glance at her. So the hadith does not prohibit taking into consideration these factors. What is the prohibition? The prohibition is for these factors to become the overriding or the basis, or become the overriding concern, where we give priority to this over deen and akhlaq. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates another hadith wherein this is much more clearly clarified for us. That Ibn Umar qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La tuzawwiju an-nisa lihusnihinna fa'asa husnuhunna an yu'dhihinna." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not marry a woman only because of her beauty. Do not marry or choose your partner only on the basis of physical attraction, because perhaps it is possible that her beauty could become a cause of takleef and difficulty to you. وَلَا تُزُوِجُوهُنَّ لِأَمْوَالِهِنَّ فَعَسَى أَمْوَالُهُنَّ أَنْ يُتْغِيهِنَّ. Nor should you marry a woman purely because of her wealth. Don't let the glitter and glamour of dunya be the basis of you choosing a partner. A lot of times we hear jokes that if you're born poor, it's not your fault, but if your wife is poor, it's your foolishness. Islam does not advocate such thinking. Islam advocates that you want to become rich by marrying a woman of taqwa, by marrying a woman of piety, by your partner being someone who will help you to earn your akhirat. So nevertheless, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not marry a woman purely because of her wealth. Perhaps her wealth could lead you to transgress the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ تُزُوِجُوهُنَّ عَلَى الدِّينِ وَلَا إِمْرَأَةٌ جَذْمَا سَوْدَى ذَاتُ دِينٍ أَفْضَلٍ. He said, but marry a woman because of her deen. Even though she may be dark colored, she may be ugly, she may be defective in her physical appearance, but if she has deen, أَفْضَلٍ, this is more virtuous for you. Why? Because this is going to help you not only make your dunya, it's going to help you make your akhirat. Because nikah is half of deen. Nikah is half of deen. So let piety and taqwa. Obviously what happens afterwards is in Allah's hands. What we have within our ability, we should do that and then put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to recap, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a partner is chosen on the basis of four things: the wealth, the beauty, the social pedigree, and the deen of that partner. He said, become successful by letting deen be the overriding factor. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.